these guys are friends, who needs enemies?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's no oil flowing from Russia through Belarus this morning. Russia has cut off the friendship pipeline, as it's called. So that means a few European countries are getting stiffed on some of their oil. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us. Stephen, what's behind this?
Well, this is an escalating dispute. I mean, we had, first of all, the Russians doubling the price of natural gas that it sells to Belarus. Belarus slapped on a $45 a ton tax on Russian oil piped across its territory to Western Europe. Russia refused to pay. Belarus allegedly then started siphoning off some of that oil for its own use, and the Russians shut off the whole pipeline. That, of course, has interrupted the flow of oil to Poland and Germany and got the European Union involved in the dispute. And the Europeans are now saying, enough is enough, we've got to stop this nonsense, and we've got to get the oil flowing again.
How has all this affected oil prices and the markets?
Well, this is really one of the most astonishing things. Oil did tick up $1 a barrel in the immediate aftermath of this story, but it's since come down again and now drifting below $56 a barrel, which is pretty extraordinary given the fact that the world's second largest oil exporter has cut supplies to Western Europe. But it really does tell you something about the state of the oil market.
Well, what does it tell us?
It tells us that there's a heck of a lot of oil sloshing around the system. And it's very interesting. This is really beginning to worry OPEC. We had the cartel cutting output. Well, now you've got OPEC talking about not just cutting output, but cutting investment in infrastructure.
All right, Stephen, thanks a lot.
Okay, Scott.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard in London. Stocks in Europe and Asia are rebounding a bit today. That follows a minor rally on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow gained 25 points to 12,423. The Nasdaq put on 4 to 2438. The S&P 500 gained 3 to 1412. We're spending some time in Las Vegas this week for the Consumer Electronics Show. Hollywood has a keen interest in what's going on there. It's hard to believe a few years ago the studios tried to outlaw the VCR. I mean, home video now makes up almost half of a movie's gross receipts. Our man in Vegas, Bob Moon, gives us a Hollywood history lesson.
It was a studio named Disney that led the long and bitter legal fight against the VCR right after it was introduced at one of these consumer electronics shows several decades ago. These days, Disney chief Bob Iger is sounding a lot more diplomatic, while many in Hollywood now perceive the proliferation of digital technology as a new opening for possible piracy, Iger sees the future.
Technological advances provide us tremendous opportunities to engage the consumer with more depth and breadth in a more convenient and personal way.
Indeed, Iger pointed out he's pushed to make content from Disney, ABC, and ESPN available on nearly every electronic device, despite piracy challenges the new technologies might create.
From my perspective, the best way to combat piracy is to bring content to market on a well-timed, well-priced basis.
Producer Jerry Bruckheimer took the stage with Iger and said he feels challenged to turn out content that'll match the stunning quality now offered by the technology on display here. At the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Later this week, the House takes up the minimum wage bill. Looks like a slam dunk, an increase from $5.15 an hour to $7.25. That pay rate has been the same for a decade. But commentator Len Berman says it's not whether you raise the minimum wage, it's how you do it that counts.
Just because lawmakers raise the minimum wage doesn't mean it won't come back for debate a few years down the road. The reason is that the minimum wage is not automatically adjusted for inflation. Every year it becomes less valuable. The proposed $2.10 increase is just catching up with the effects of 10 years of inflation since the last wage hike. So here's an idea. How about we index the minimum wage for inflation? It's the same thing that we do for wages of federal employees and Social Security benefits. It would be good not only for those earning near the minimum wage, but also for those who employ them. It's obvious why it's good for workers. But employers, too? Well, increasing the wage every year by a little bit, inflation runs at about 3% per year, is much less disruptive than raising it by 40% once a decade. With an automatic annual increase, employers could plan ahead and predict how much their workforce will cost them. So why aren't politicians even talking about indexing the minimum wage? Many Republicans are worried about the effect of a higher wage floor on small businesses. But it would be in their interest to index it once and for all and make it go away as a political issue. They lose every time it comes up. Why don't Democrats push for indexation? Good question. A cynic would say that they want it to come back as a political issue because it helps them. Madam Speaker, please quell my cynicism. You wouldn't want folks thinking you'd use poor workers as pawns. Now, would you?
Len Berman is director of the Urban Brookings Tax Policy Center. Send us your thoughts at marketplace.org. Word today that the price of soft drinks is going up. That's because of higher costs for aluminum, corn syrup, and concentrate. Yum. Analysts say we're looking at a 4% increase this year. A lot of nutrition studies are done by the beverage and food industry. Alan Cockle tells us those studies could be a little biased.
Researchers at Children's Hospital in Boston reviewed 5 years of studies on the nutritional effects of milk, juice, or soda. Industry-funded studies were almost 8 times more likely to be favorable to their products compared with studies from independent sponsors. David Ludwig authored this study of studies. He's worried about a systematic bias.
It could affect the advice that doctors and dietitians give to their patients, and it could also affect FDA regulation of food advertisements.
Ludwig's study is published today in the journal PLOS Medicine. Soda and dairy companies defend their work, saying the real test is whether their results are published in a scientific journal. In Boston, I'm Alan Cockle for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
$3.50 for a gallon of milk, six if...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.